TopLessRobot.com presents...
You're listening to Animated Opinions, the only podcast drawn entirely with a 12-pixel brush. I'm Melanie.
I'm mostly naked.
And this week, we watched the 2010 version of Alice in Wonderland. No, not the one directed by Tim Burton. Never the one directed by Tim Burton.
Honestly, I would rather have watched the one directed by Tim Burton. I also want to clarify, it's like 98 degrees in my room, so that's why I'm not really wearing clothes.
If you'd like to see what level of clothing Emily's wearing, please support us on Patreon.
It's $50.
Oh, yeah.
At the lowest tier.
It's $50 to get a written description of the amount of clothing Emily's wearing. At any rate,
girl,
this is Animated Opinions.
No ho water. Yeah, sorry, my bad. My name is also Emily. My social security number is as follows.
We watched a movie that barely qualifies as a movie. It's more like an MS Paint slideshow on top of an old radio play.
That is essentially what it is. So the production of this movie, there's a making of that came with the DVD, and I really, really, really wanted to see it, but I also didn't want to hold a physical copy of this in my hands, and I don't have an up-to-date library card with Los Angeles County. So I was unable to get my hands on this film. So the production, it was originally broadcast on the radio back in the 1940s. And then in 2010, it was put on DVD to animation. It took 6 months to make this nightmarish trash, and I can actually believe that time frame. They claim to have worked really, really hard on it, which I guess... I mean, if you have no idea how to make an animated movie, I can believe that somebody who had no idea how to do what they were doing made this movie, and they worked hard on it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, they probably put their soul into this piece of garbage. Doesn't make it any better.
It's like me being like, yeah, no, totally. I can lay you out a magazine in Adobe InDesign. Like, I can do it, but it's going to be hard, and it's going to take me 6 whole months to lay out your 100-page spread.
I think you could do a 100-page spread in like a week.
I definitely could. I actually know Adobe InDesign. I was just trying to come up with a relatable fucking example.
I was just going to say, Emily, I know you. You're confident.
I can't believe you would expose me like this. I am a person who knows how to Google if I don't know how to answer a question.
It's true.
So, yeah, fucking come at me, baby boomers.
But yeah, this is a nightmare.
This is a nightmare. We can't even fully blame the guy whose name is always attached to this. So when we were trying to find this film, because it came out the same year as the Tim Burton one, you have to attach the name Michael Conroy to it to get any results that are remotely accurate. However, he did not act alone. And I kind of believe that if he had made this movie by himself in his parents' basement, it would have been more acceptable.
Yes.
But because he had a team, it just kind of makes it... I mean, he had the final say, and like I'll kind of delve into that in a hot second. So I guess we can more blame him, but I also am like uncomfortable being like, Michael Conroy, fuck you.
Agreed. This is a movie that looks like it might have been made by children in a, like, how-to-animate class.
Yeah. They turned pencil scans of these stills into colored files, and then they give that to somebody to animate. This was all done in Photoshop, and allegedly, this is all from... A lot of the information that I got was from somebody who did watch the featurette, because you can't find that online. I did try. It's from animationramblings.blogspot.com. They have an excellent write-up on this making of. It's so funny. And so this guy allegedly does not know how to fill in large spaces or increase his brush size in Photoshop. So he scribbles in Alice's red dress with a very tiny brush, and we see this on screen, and it takes him forever. And he also talks about layers, but apparently there's no indication that he knows what a layer is or how to properly use one.
Nice. This is sounding like it made the movie that we watched. None of this is shocking because the final product is so bad.
We finally found it, everybody. We found a movie worse than Dougal.
We found a movie worse than Trollland, which is saying something.
Oh, I forgot we watched Trollland.
Trollland had officially taken our crown, and we just blew that out of the water instantly with this.
I really feel like we peaked at episode 2, season 1, with Strange Magic.
I would argue that Chappie was also a good episode.
Oh, Chappie's... I don't think I've listened to Chappie.
Chappie is one of the few movies that we both went, yes, this is serviceable.
I think we also did that for... Never mind. If it was just these two guys, also, they would have gotten a pass. So Michael Conroy and who I will call Harold doing this. I have no idea what his name is. That's why I've just come up with Harold. There was a character designer for this movie.
Oh, no.
Somebody made these Clive Barker fucking Xenobite horrors that would make him himself question his sinister designs. The character designer, whose name I do not know, recounted that back in high school, her art teacher gave her some words of encouragement on her cartoony designs and inspired her to become a cartoonist. And my only note on that is, oh, honey, no. The original design of Alice in this movie was closer to the Disney version that most people associate with their Alice in Wonderland visions. So when you think Alice in Wonderland, you think of an Aryan-looking... like maybe 13 to 16 year old ish girl.
Yeah.
In a blue dress with her white pinafore and her bloomers and like her curled hair.
That's exactly what I imagine.
Right. That was close to what they had. Then she recounts that she took the design to Michael Conroy, who laughed it off and told her to redesign it, give her black hair and a more alternative look. And that's how we end up with the bastard version of Hey Arnold.
Oh, you know.
And this.
Yeah.
This is the moment that I discovered that this information was being pulled from a featurette called Down the Rabbit Hole with Michael Conroy.
I know that I shouldn't be shocked by any of this, and yet I'm just like, I can't believe that someone else acknowledged that this movie existed and that it didn't just birth itself into the universe as, like, an AI's first attempt at making a film.
Well, to me, it gets even better because they have a name slapped on there. They have, like, a production company name called Cinematronic Inc. But if you Google that, you get the game company that went defunct in 1987, which, you know, their noted title is fucking Dragon's Lair. And then there's also Cinematronics, LLC, later known as Maxis South, which that game company went defunct in... defunct. I've been drinking. Maxis South, a.k.a. Cinematronics, LLC, went defunct in 1997, and they were purchased by EA. I really think they just, like, picked a production company name that sounded vaguely cool, didn't double check that it wasn't already being used or had been previously used, and that's why when you look up this production company, you can only find these two game studios.
Oh.
I'm really sorry.
Emily! Give yourself long speaking segments in this state.
Sorry. I can't find any reason that this name is associated with the company unless they were just like, yeah, Cinematronic sounds great. Slap it the fuck on there. And they don't actually have any, like, license to use that title. I think they just were just like, yeah, this sounds cool. Let's go.
That would be it. I can guarantee you that's it.
And the quote that I have is, oh, these are from reviews. Do we want to save those?
Yeah, let's save the reviews for the end.
Okay, I'm going to move those down to the end.
All right, I'll get everybody ready.
We're live editing this podcast.
Yes.
Oh, real quick. So this movie, people, like, thought it was a creepypasta.
Yeah, it seems like it would be.
Yeah, because there's a user review that says they found it in a creepypasta. So I actually kind of tried to find that exact, like, where it originated from. Was unable to, but I would have to do more research.
All right.
However, what I did learn, no, this is a fun fact. There are multiple libraries in Los Angeles that have that DVD.
Wow.
The closest one did happen to be 20 miles from me. I think it was in, like, Torrance. But 20 miles isn't far enough. But at the same time, I want to see that making of. So I feel like I need to actually, like, re-up my library card and get the Torrance library to send this to my nearest branch so that I can fucking watch that.
Dude, that DVD's bad energy is radiating into your life.
Oh, it's like the Jumanji board game, but, like, in a DVD.
Yeah. No, like, it's giving off stink lines.
Like, bad juju. We were not emotionally prepared for this movie, but on the bright side, it does.
You suggested it.
I wasn't ready!
Okay. None of us were ready.
It runs under an hour, so this might be short. Fuck.
It runs under an hour, and it's a nightmare. And it opens...
Thank Jesus.
It opens...
If everybody knows the plot of Alice in Wonderland, you're going to hear a lot of repeated bullshit.
Yeah, we'll keep it short. Okay. Mm. So, Alice sits on a riverbank. She's reading. It's hot. She sees a white rabbit running by her after bitching about how bored she is. The white rabbit pulls out a pocket watch. It says, "I'm legally distinctly late. I'm legally distinctly late." And then he falls down a rabbit hole. Alice follows him because she's a nosy bitch. She falls. There you go. Part one. And it immediately opens on a knockoff Disney logo that is the Eiffel Tower, and it's basically like ejaculating fireworks. And it's all default effects and fonts, and I'm so angry.
It was in this exact, like, opening line that I was just like, wait, this is just Alice in Wonderland. And then I Googled a little bit and went, oh, this is just ripped exactly from the 40s radio play. It's just talking, flapping mouths over poorly designed and animated flash bullshit. Which, at least, like, I could close my eyes and listen to a good radio play. Like, it's an excellently produced radio play.
The mouths barely move. The teeth are just everywhere. They don't use any gradients, which is amazing to me. There's no shading or color variant. Well,
that requires the guy in Photoshop to know how to do the shit.
Or to know maybe how to use the fill bucket. Don't tell that guy about the fill bucket. He'll lose his mind.
Holy shit.
I did flash animation in high school, like a lot of flash animation, because I was a very sad child. And I feel like it looked slightly better because at least I was trying to do some stylistic shit and like copying other flash animators rather than just whatever this is.
Yeah, it...
So, we're gonna blow right through this. Alice doesn't die, and she follows the white rabbit to a door that is too small for her to get through. Oh, no. And she turns around. There's a bottle on a table that says, drink me. And Alice drinks it, and she shrinks, and she cries, and she forgets about the door key that she was supposed to get that's on a table because now she's shrunk. She fucking cries, and then a magic cake tells her to eat that. And she goes, well, this has worked out for me once. And she eats it, and now she's giant.
Yeah. Hi, white rabbit. And okay, so the white rabbit's teeth, his mouth, they didn't like do mouth flaps for him. His teeth move up and down. So his teeth make it look like they leave gaping flesh-colored holes in his face every time he speaks. It's horrifying.
So you said this was all made in Photoshop, right? They did not open Flash for this?
I assume this, yeah.
Because it explains a lot, because Flash does things like shape tweens and masks and movie clips that it seems like they did not employ at all throughout this movie. And it's shocking, but it's less shocking to hear that they used a non-animation tool to make this movie.
It wouldn't surprise me that this had happened.
And the rabbit doesn't have a mouth. They just animate
stuff. No, that's what I said. It's just the horrifying, like, his teeth are his mouth.
Yeah. At one point.
And Alice has nightmare teeth.
Alice has just, like, jags in her mouth. They aren't teeth.
No, they're just, like, weird gaping, like, moonshine meth teeth.
Yes. Accurate description.
That's what they are. Like, if you've ever seen that Discovery Channel show, Moonshiners, she's got that dude's mouth.
Yeah.
I don't remember his name. I feel like his name Cletus.
Probably.
So
at one point they just animate a stock image of a cat. Like, they just put some tears or whatever on it, and it looks better than the rest of the movie.
Oh, good.
Oh, it looks good. Which is sad.
Mm-hmm.
During the scene where Alice is lamenting that she's too big for the door is so far away that it looks large enough for Alice to get through based on perspective. And I was like, how do you fuck this up?
Because they don't understand basic cinematography.
It just amazed me that, like, you know that that door is supposed to look tiny as hell, and yet you've drawn it more or less the same height as Alice in the frame because you're dumb.
I
know.
I don't know.
Also, the radio dialogue that explains what's happening. So there's no narrator. Alice will just be like, oh no, I'm shrinking. And she'll shrink. And then she'll go, oh no, I'm growing now. And she'll grow. And it's really obnoxious.
Because it's done as a radio play, so there's no visuals. It's all just like your family is sitting around the fire. JFK, oh god, no, JFK was the 60s.
FDR, dear.
FDR, thank you. I was like, it's the other three letter. FDR has just finished his fireside chat, and now we are about to delve into the Alice in Wonderland radio drama, where you're sitting around the fire with your family and your golden retriever, and you have to use your imagination to come up with pictures inside of your own head. So it's really helpful when Alice goes like, oh no, I have eaten this cake and now I'm shrinking. I mean, you could just read a fucking book, but like, the 40s were tough. Not everybody was literate.
Oh, I just mean they should have had a narrator saying those things. Like how you do in an audiobook.
But that's like what this is. A radio play is just like a slightly different audiobook.
Yes, but instead of Alice saying things, you can have a narrator that do scene descriptions. That is a whole other
podcast,
though.
Podcast. That's a whole nother person to hire, though. And this was still, you're coming out of the Great Depression.
Yeah, and everyone World was War making 12 cents.
Two.
It's fine.
Yeah, World War II had just like kicked in, right?
Yes. Yes, it did.
It just ended, sorry. In 48, it was over.
Yes.
Okay, so we're all very prosperous, actually. So they're actually making, like, 13 cents rather than 12.
Woo!
I actually have no idea where we are in the plot. Alice recites a poem, right? That's where we are?
Yes.
Alice recites a poem to herself to make herself feel better and does not shockingly feel better. Turns out she is small again, I guess. Maybe the effect wore off, or like poetry makes people small. She meets a mouse and then she meets some birds.
Yes, this is exactly what happens. Some other things happen. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, the mouse is a lumpy piece of actual shit.
He looks like he stepped right out of Ratatouille.
How dare you? Ratatouille looked better than this.
It did. Ratatouille did look better than this.
So there were birds, and the mouse is telling the birds a story, but is also actively bullying the birds. And then they started flapping their wings.
The visual horror of this sequence, like, cannot be understated. It can't be told to you.
And Alice smiles so fucking much. And every time she does, we see her fucking horror teeth.
It was at this point
her moonshine horror teeth. I'm going to do the rest of the podcast with this accent.
Okay. It was at this point in the movie that I opened another window and started looking at extremely on-model comics of Blossom and Aku hooking up and having kids. Fuck this movie. Let's talk about crack ships.
What?
Yeah, have you not seen this?
No!
There's like two whole comic series about Blossom and Aku getting together and having kids, and also they have like a million children? 8? 9?
No, that's so wrong. Sorry, real quick, I'm on Twitter and this person was just like, here's a VFX reel for Isle of Dogs. You might be surprised at how much VFX work went into this film. And my ass just went, I wouldn't be, actually.
Emily, be nice.
What? I am nice. I'm just saying that a lot of fucking plebs are just like, ooh, fucking VFX. Nobody uses VFX. It isn't everything you fucking watch except for this movie. Every other movie you see has visual effects in it. This doesn't.
Yes.
Alice has to go get the fucking white... Alice is now the White Rabbit's bitch boy. And she has to go get his gloves and his fan. And then another bottle tells her to drink from it. And it's just like, bitch, if somebody told you to suck their dick, would you just do it without question? So Alice drinks from the bottle, and because, surprise, surprise, she just listens to whatever inanimate objects tell her to do, she grows to the size of the whole house, and everybody gets mad about it. The White Rabbit shows back up at his place of residence, fuming at the now giant Alice. She swats at him and the servants with her giant hand. The animals outside try to get her out of the house by throwing rocks at her, and these rocks inexplicably transform into little cakes when they get inside the house. So one, I think it just like magically falls into Alice's mouth and it causes her to shrink to a small size. And this scene is great because she just starts punching and kicking the shit out of everybody.
She does.
It's amazing.
It's very good. But yeah, Alice is the fucking worst.
Oh, she is.
She just punches her arms and legs through the windows and the chimney and is like, I'm gonna just wear this house now that I'm giant.
Yeah, these are my clothes now. My favorite is just like the off-screen character that just replies, well, guess we gotta burn the house down.
The rabbit just walks up and is like, what the fuck is this? And you can tell that he's just done with today.
Oh yeah, he's already late and now this bitch is in his house. Oh Jesus Christ.
This bitch is his house.
Yeah, bitch is my house.
There's no sense of scale in this movie. Despite the fact that the only interesting thing about Alice in Wonderland is the big, small, and then the end.
Right, the fucking size. The queen,
yeah.
Yeah, the size differences, which is like my favorite trope in all of fanfiction. You know, you've got your big and your small.
Yeah, you gotta do that. Otherwise, it just doesn't work.
Alice also keeps saying that she'll set her cat on them. Like, yeah. Your cat didn't jump down a hole with you. I don't know what you want.
Also, Alice, a cake made you big in the first place. How did that logic hold up?
Well, maybe she would have busted right the fuck out the house.
Yeah, maybe that was her plan.
Yeah, I don't remember enough about the original Alice in Wonderland movie from Disney to know how accurate this is, but I really, really appreciated the pacing of this radio drama. Because it was not fucking around. It was just like, all right, let's move. Plot, point, let's go.
Fair.
Yeah. Shit. She... God. I have to read this because this is my favorite. She wanders off into the forest where she meets a caterpillar sitting on a mushroom and smoking a hookah, i.e. a water pipe. The Caterpillar and Alice, The Caterpillar and Alice get into an argument, but before the Caterpillar crawls away in disgust, he tells Alice the different parts of the mushroom will make her grow or shrink. Alice shrinks after eating a pebble cake and wonders, That's the actual plot. Okay. My summary of this bit, so the thing I just read with the actual, just like the Caterpillar and Alice talk, and it's actually like well written. My version that I wrote down before I copy pasted the plot in was, Alice shrinks after eating a pebble cake and wanders off to find everybody's favorite chain smoking motherfucker, the dankest caterpillar.
Also true.
Like I said, if you just closed your eyes and listened to this, it's just a really well-produced radio play. It's great. I highly recommend finding just the audio and listening to that.
421, smoke dank water pipes.
421, blaze it!
The best part of Alice in Wonderland is that it's basically Lewis Carroll being like, imaginary math, you're all little girls on a dumb drug trip, go live in the real world. And then it turns out that his dead, dumb pedophile ass was wrong.
Who's pedophile ass?
Lewis Carroll.
Lewis Carroll. I forgot that he was a pedophile.
Yeah. Isn't that the greatest thing? When you just learn terrible things.
Yeah.
And you just remember them forever. Okay.
The other thing I noticed was that everybody in this, like, Wonderland world is super easily offended. Also, Alice's arms were, like, coming out of where her titties were.
There was apparently a song in this section that I just skipped past.
I listened to the whole thing. It was something.
Nope. Have no patience for songs, especially not when Alice has to eat some mushrooms and shrink down to a normal height. Then she invites herself into the Duchess's home and finds the Duchess, who is nursing a squealing baby.
Yeah, she just does a breaking and entering. She's not nursing it. It just is there.
Yeah, she does a B&E, a breakfast, and eggs, you know, as we all do. Also, the Cheshire Cat is there, and a cook who tosses massive amounts of pepper into a cauldron of soup. The Duchess behaves rudely to Alice and then departs to prepare for a croquet game with the Queen. As she leaves, the Duchess hands Alice the baby. Alice goes outside and discovers it's a pig, and then she lets the pig go and she re-enters the forest where she meets the Cheshire Cat again. And the cat says, "Everyone in Wonderland is mad, including you, Alice, you crazy bitch." And the Cheshire Cat gives her directions to the March Hare's house and fades away.
Okay. So the pig baby, I guess, is just normal. Alternately, the pepper that was getting tossed into the air is magical and turns pigs into babies?
I don't know. Also, the Duchess is, like, very close to being a racist caricature.
I thought she was a racist caricature.
I think she... did she have a bad voice, too? Either way, Duchess is not okay.
I don't remember.
Check yourselves. Alice in Wonderland, 2010.
Sorry, I just took a big drink. This was another song, and the worst part of this movie, by far, was definitely the screaming baby noise.
Yeah. In crack ship news, my new favorite ship is Jack Spicer from Shaolin Showdown, ex-Princess Morbucks, minor villain on the Powerpuff Girls.
Why were you looking this up?
Because I was bored!
So I put this movie on and just chilled on my couch, and I definitely closed my eyes at multiple points just to appreciate the radio drama aspects of it.
Yeah, well, some of us need more entertainment.
I guess we just kind of started chucking babies everywhere because they're like tossing this baby, which Alice then steals, and then it turns into a pig. And then she immediately abandons the baby pig.
Babies, cool. Pigs, extremely whack. No pigs.
Fuck, it's hot in my room. We cut to black after this. And why do we do that, Mel?
Because transitions are for pussies.
Absolutely. Carry on.
And then Alice meets the Cheshire Cat again, another time? She goes to the Mad Hatter's house. Or the March Hare's house. Who knows? They're all having tea in the backyard and everyone's an asshole to Alice. But she decides she's going to sit at the tea party anyway, even though she wasn't invited. She learns that they're perpetually having tea time due to having wronged time in some sense. After Alice is a bitch, she leaves and journeys through the forest. She finds a tree with a door in it, travels through to find herself back in the Great Hall. She takes the key and uses the mushroom to shrink down and enter the garden, like a very long level of Kingdom Hearts. Alice has finally made it back to the point that she was initially stuck at.
Yay! Yeah. This was actually the point, sorry. This was the point in the film that I just closed my eyes so that I didn't have to look at the Flash bullshit.
The Cheshire Cat's voice is so bad. It's awful.
I mean, they're all bad.
They're all bad. The Mad Hatter looks like the man in the yellow hat from Curious George.
Oh, fuck! Thank you. I didn't know where he was from.
Yeah. Also, the sick burn from the March Hare. I don't remember what he says, but whatever it was good. And then I yeeted myself past another song in this movie because no thank you.
Yeah, I guess this was actually a musical. But Alice somehow escapes the tea party, starts back at the beginning. She goes through the doors in the glass hall, walks through the tiny door into the garden to see the playing cards, painting the white roses. And my question was, how do you cut the head off a playing card?
Emily, did you do the movie drugs?
Well, think about it, because the playing cards, unless they're face cards, so you've got your jack, your king, your queen,
mm-hmm.
right? And we have a king and we have a queen. And these are just number cards. How do you cut the head off of a number card?
That's fair. Also, the glass hall looks like the melted goo.
Oh, God.
Doesn't look like glass at all. In crackship news, a coo got Blossom pregnant with septuplets.
This is horrifying.
Also, what is this movie?
So at this point, I was so ready. And I just said, I can't wait to see the design. And then as I was typing that, I just switched to all caps of the queen and the king and just was just laughing my ass off because the designs were so bad.
They looked like shitty Picasso drawings.
Oh, they're so terrible.
They really are. And Alice is bigger than every character in this scene for no reason.
She's so much taller than the queen, and I don't understand her fucking Arnold football head, and it almost looks like it was traced off of Hey Arnold, like the basic outline of her, and then they just went for it.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know. This is just... The end of this is a nightmare. At some point, someone says dogs and mustard bite, and you know, that's very true.
The Cheshire Cat shows up. My favorite was the transition music where it just holds over still images because, once again, transitions are for pussies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's just the way it is.
The Duchess approaches Alice and attempts to befriend her, but the Duchess makes Alice feel uneasy because of the whole pig baby pepper scenario. We still don't get that. The Queen of Hearts chases the Duchess off and tells Alice that she must visit the Mock Turtle to hear his story. The Queen of Hearts sends Alice with the Griffin to meet the Mock Turtle. Alice shares her strange experiences and with the Turtle and the Griffin. They comment on her adventures. The Mock Turtle tells a story, and then a trial is about to begin. None of this matters!
I'm so sweaty.
One of them looks like a dragon, and one looks like
a turtle. Oh, yeah, but it's a griffin. It's a griffin. So the dragon, I have dragon, so the dragon griffin takes Alice to see the turtle because it's an actual turtle. I thought it was going to be something different because, I don't know, a mock turtle?
Yeah.
It's just like M-A-C-H, like it's fast, or M-O-C-K, like, oh, fake turtle.
Oh, I got you. Yes. Yeah. The Mach 5 turtle.
Yeah, the Mach turtle. Also, at this point, we had 10 minutes left, and then they started singing about turtle fucking soup.
Yeah, you couldn't pay me to watch the turtle soup song. You know I skipped past that.
I did watch the turtle soup song, and then checked again and had 7 minutes left with the comment of how the fuck have only 3 minutes passed? It's been an eternity.
Yes. And then somehow in the next 4 minutes, the queen is mad at Alice, orders her beheading, but Alice grows to a huge size and knocks over the queen's army of playing cards. Then she wakes up back at the riverbank. She tells her sister about her dream and has tea. The end. Oh,
I'm just now reading your comment, and I want it.
I'm genuinely shocked no one tried to do a courtroom parody of Alice in Wonderland during the Let's Rip Off Shrek era. Like, Law & Order with a little bit of SVU and the X-Files meets Hoodwinked. I'm time traveling back right now to 2004, and I'm gonna pitch it, because you know someone's gonna take it.
That's very true.
You want to come pitch this with me?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you'd have to come down here and pitch it with me.
Well, first we have to travel back in time.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay. We'll travel back in time. Well, no, fuck you. Charming came out last year.
Yeah, but I want to make real money.
Shit, okay. We'll invent time travel, and then we'll go back in time and pitch this to fucking...
Yes, we will go. We will go pitch it to some B-grade animation house. Blue Sky, I'm coming for you.
No, fuck you. I want to pitch this to DreamWorks.
DreamWorks isn't going to take it. They were ripping off Shrek. They made Shrek.
No, they were Shrek.
Exactly. They don't.
This is another free property that they can take advantage of.
I don't think that DreamWorks would make a Shrek ripoff because they already have Shrek.
They made Puss in Boots.
Yeah, Puss in Boots was a part of the Shrekiverse.
I don't know.
The SCU is wide and diverse. It includes
Puss in Boots. What is the SCU?
The Shrek Cinematic Universe.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it includes Puss in Boots, The Adventures of Puss in Boots, probably that King Julian show that's on Netflix.
Everything's fine.
What'd you break?
Nothing.
Oh, you fucking broke something. What'd you break?
No, everything's good. Everything's great.
Emily, that sounded like it wasn't.
So when people talk about the MCU, my response is just going to be asking them about the SCU, but I'm not going to reveal that it's the Shrek Cinematic Universe until very late in the conversation. It's like when people are just like, oh, don't you want kids? And it's just like, oh, yeah, I want 6 kids. And then we go into the conversation and I just keep playing it.
Yes, and then you want goats.
Yeah, and like all the way into the conversation, like 20 minutes in after they're just like, oh, my God, she is a normal person. I come up with just like, oh yeah, the pitter patter of little hooves, and they're like, what? And I'm just like, baby goats, fucker, not people.
Yep.
Human babies are disgusting. Baby goats are the best. They're second only to baby horses. Alice in Wonderland happens, and Alice grows herself out of court. I guess, like, so there's escaping jury duty, and then there is eating a sentient cake thing, I guess, that makes you get big. But she doesn't. She just grows. So this whole time, she's been really little.
Yeah. You know, fuck the police. Just eat a cake. Fuck
the police. You know what? Maybe I'll make a cake after that.
Yeah. And put fuck the police on it.
Oh, my God.
It's a great
cake.
I
have to make buttercream, though.
No, just write it in, like, very loopy script.
Can I do that? Yeah. Well, I still have to make buttercream to make the frosting.
Well, so you're just going to make a cake without frosting?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I could make royal icing.
Ooh, I would be down for some royal icing.
I love me some icing.
I do. When I was a kid, I used to eat icing straight from the can like a nasty demon.
I do really enjoy it. It's super good. Yeah, that's it. There are no credits on this.
No, this one's bad.
I cannot think of a reason that this needed to exist other than somebody probably got mad at Disney's version of Alice in Wonderland, which came out the same year, 2010, so the live-action one. The voice cast is credited. So the people from 1948, they are credited as the voices, but I'm assuming they're all dead now. At the very end of the credits, there is a website, wonderlanddvd.com. If you type it in, it leads to nowhere.
Good.
As it should be. Pray for the sweet embrace of death. Would you like some credits?
Yes.
So, the best part about this movie was looking at credits on the internet.
Ooh.
We have.
Not even the reviews, the credits?
Sorry, the reviews. I'm just dumb.
Wait, are we reading credits or are we reading reviews?
No, there were no credits. The credits were just the people that did the 40s radio play.
Good. Then let us talk about these reviews from Amazon.
So the reviews. A variety of review sites.
Ooh.
IMDb and Amazon mainly.
Okay. So
the unique presentation of the Lewis Carroll children's classic, utilizes audio portions of a rare 1948 radio recording starring Dinah Shore, Arthur Q. Bryan, the voice of Elmer Fudd, and Ralph Moody, and combines it with cutting-edge animation created in 2010. Alice in Wonderland is an instant classic that will be remembered for years to come.
Well, I'll remember it in my nightmares.
I'll give it the unique presentation point, or as one Amazon review says, just filmed very poorly.
Yeah.
And then this fucker, this idiot, purchased the DVD on Amazon and had this to say. I've never seen a film as awful as this. I just can't believe a bunch of lazy adults ripped off the 1940s radio play and made horrible MS2D CGI paint levels that look like they were made by kindergartners. No offense. Dinah Shore must be rolling in her grave. My advice, stick to the two Disney versions or any other Alice film, but avoid this one at all costs.
Oh. Yes. Why did that person buy this?
And the final one, picking on this thing is like picking on a small child. You just can't. You ought to kick it down and get it over with.
Inspired words. Very true.
I know. I love that. They're just like, you can't pick on a small child, but you could just kill it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. That's the comment. They're just like, can't bully a child, but you could fucking murder it. And you're like, oh, okay.
I have nothing more to say.
I don't think I have anything else to say about this movie.
No, I've run out.
Aside from the fact that it was made a lot more palatable rereading our notes on it by having drinks in front of me.
I'm very envious. This week's episode of Animated Opinions was brought to you by the Animated Opinions Halloween Costume Kit. By the time that this episode airs, it will be close to Halloween. And if you'd like to dress up as your favorite podcasters, we have the kits for you. Do you want to dress up as Emily? Here's your outfit. You need some kind of horse material. It needs to have a horse on it. Then
this isn't fair. Okay, no, it can't just have a horse on it. It has to be one of those like mono. It's not monotone, but it's one color. Like the palette is one color.
Yes, and it's like a watercolor painting of a horse on a colored shirt. Yes. Like purple. Okay. Yes. Like,
yeah. No. So it's a purple tie-dye shirt, but all of the colors on it are like purple or green. So it's not just like a tie-dye shirt. It's one color of tie-dye.
Yes.
And then so you've got your one color of tie-dye, and then on the front of it, also it's like a long sleeve shirt. It's not a long sleeve shirt, but it's one of those short sleeve shirts that'll give you such hardcore farmer's tan. Also has to be one size too large, so order up, kids. And on the front of it is like a landscape scene almost, with at the forefront of that landscape desert mesa scene is a galloping horse, and then superimposed in the background is just another horse or the moon. You can pick.
Oh, I hope I go get the moon.
These shirts are readily available on the internet and or at your nearest Walmart.
Yes. So that's
Do you remember GBR and Wolf Shirt Wednesday?
You bet I do.
I fucking miss Wolf Shirt Wednesday. I kind of want to try and make it a thing at work.
You can make it a thing at work.
I feel like people would judge me, though. So if you want to dress as me, that's what you do. And then you get a pair of jeans that's slightly too large. And then you get a belt that you then have to use your leather hole punch on so that you can punch another hole in your own belt rather than getting a new belt like a normal human being would, because you own a leather hole punch. The leather hole punch does not come with a costume kit.
Ooh, rough.
And if you want to dress as Mel, just like look at your nearest hipster in a coffee shop and just go for it.
Excuse you. Dressing as me is an art that requires you to have a t-shirt from either a band or a cartoon you liked in high school, despite the fact that now significantly too old to continue wearing those shirts. Yes. They also...
You're talking to somebody who wore a corgi drinking bubble tea sweater.
Emily, I wear shirts from bands I liked in high school because I haven't bought a fucking t-shirt since I was in high school. Yeah, t-shirts are just given to me, and I wear them. So I have plenty of t-shirts for video games that have never come out, and for engines of video games, and also my own work. That's about it.
What about the shirt that I gave you?
Oh, yeah, that's different. You're my friend. Oh. It was given to me.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And, like, the t-shirt is a gift. It's very important. And then you gotta wear some shorts and some tights under it, like you're pretending to be Ramona Flowers, like you have always done since you saw that Scott Pilgrim movie, and you were like, oh, this is my aesthetic. No, you can't get the haircut. It won't come out right. I've tried. You can show as many pictures of that haircut as you want, and no one will do it.
See, the only way you can do that is if you do it yourself in the bathroom at 3 a.m. drunk with scissors.
I know, but I don't trust myself enough to not give me a terrible haircut. I know what I'm capable of, and it's not much.
I would do it for you, and then the day later we could go to Supercuts and then cry.
Nah. I think you would do an okay job. No, I think it's easier to cut somebody else's hair than your own. My mom used to have me cut her hair, and I definitely always fucked it up, though. So, like, your mileage may vary.
I could definitely do it.
But yeah, that's a fair... You also need wireless headphones to be me, because that's my new distinct trademark.
Oh. See, you have to have wired headphones for me.
Yeah. Sorry
also,
about that.
Also, you have to always have a paperback book of your choice, and your jeans should be too large on you so that you can always put your paperback book in the back pocket of your jeans.
How small is that book?
No, it's just a normal paperback book, but my jeans are like three sizes too large at this point, so the book and my ass have enough space and fabric between them.
I've got a paperback right now that's too large to fit in a purse, and I'm very angry about it because it means I can't bring it with me.
What are you fucking reading? Brandon goddamn Sanderson?
No, it's not too wide. It's too... Like they did...
Oh, no. Sorry, let me correct this. You need to be carrying a mass market paperback.
Thank you, yes.
Not just any paperback. It has to be a mass market.
Yeah, I do not have that kind of luck right now. But yes.
Alternately, some companies have, like, weirdly changed the size of their mass market paperback. And I know this because back when I bought the Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, I think. God, that was so long ago.
Yeah, you're old.
Yeah, so I had Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, The Girl Who Played with Fire, and then I was waiting for the, because I had the first two in paperback. And the cinematographer on those Swedish films came to school and, like, talked to us about them. And he just goes, okay, who's read the books? And I was the only one that raised my hand. And he goes, is the third one out yet? And I go, no, it's due out. And, like, I gave the date. And he's like, all right, I know that you know that you'll know everything I talk about here, which was great. But I was so mad because I finally went and got it when the day they released the mass market paperback of The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest. I purchased it and brought it home, and it was the wrong size because the publishing company had changed this. I think maybe I don't know if they changed the publishing company or the publishing company changed their printing, but it was a different size than my other two books, and I was so upset about it. I'm still mad about it.
That's not okay.
I'm actively sweating.
Yeah. So, if you want to dress up as us for Halloween, you'll also need to be actively sweating. Good luck with that.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm always just kind of sweaty. Yeah. I'm just like a teenage boy.
On that note,
I'm just very sweaty.
This has been Animated Opinions. I'm sweaty.
I'm very sweaty.
Bye.
Bye.